from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Locked On Chiefs, and we are back. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to go over the film with Seth Kaiser, our old buddy from Arrowhead Pride. He is back with us, and we're going to get to that part of the show in a little bit. First, there's some news, and we recorded the show with Seth before the news came out about Marcus Peters, and we just want to get to that some for you. And here's the basics. He suspended a game without pay by the team. Coach's decision. This is not an NFL enforcement. This is a coach's decision with the organization. And I think what it gets down to is that Peters has lost control enough times this season that his latest outburst was probably the thing that broke the camel's back. And supposedly, with the league not enforcing any kind of suspension for the throwing of the flag, yes, that was a temperamental outburst, which I'm sure the team has got to have a concern about. But I think the bigger concern is that he walked off the field. Whether he thought he was ejected or not, he left the field. And I think that's the bigger issue. It's you would think a guy with that kind of fire would want to stay there and linger and try to stay with his teammates as long as he can. That level of frustration, I think, is probably what is most eating at Marcus Peters and probably what's bothering the staff as well. I've seen a lot of conjecture about Andy Reid won't answer the question whether it was the flag or whether it was the leaving the field. I personally have my take. A lot of people have a lot of conjecture, and we just don't know. It's an internal decision, and we're not going to know. But the fact is, they have to face the Oakland Raiders without their best corner. And that is probably a bigger thing that's going to color the discussion that we're having, both here and tomorrow. And so keep that in mind. This team has to come together as a unit, particularly the defense, the secondary. Guys are going to have to play. Phillip Gaines is going to be on the field. He's got to play better. Terrence Mitchell is going to be on the field. Revis is going to be on the field. How much, we don't know. But these four guys have to come together and play better than they played the last time they saw the Raiders in order for this team to get on a roll. They lose this game, and it is the spiral into infinity for this season. They have to do it without a guy that you would perceive as their best player in the secondary, although I'm still, despite what Chris thinks about yardage, I'm still not very impressed with how many completions Marcus Peters is giving up. He's clearly frustrated with Bob Sutton as well. Does that change the scheme? Does it let them do things that they need to do that maybe Bob needed to wake up as well? We're going to have to see, but it's going to be a very interesting development. Keep your eyes here. We're going to talk about it later. Check out the rest of the podcast network. Hit those reviews for PFF. They are still picking our reviews on our podcast on iTunes for their Winners for the Edge product. Very, very cool. Great thing to look at, especially as the season starts to wind down and you're looking at stats and grades and trying to get an idea of the playoff picture and what might happen in those games. So keep that rolling. We appreciate everyone who subscribed. It's great. We could throw out some of these extra episodes, and we really enjoy doing that, especially when there's breaking news. I happen to be editing this, so I could just put it on the front of this great show that we did with Seth. So take a listen. Tell your friends. Get subscribed as well. Here is us with Seth going over the film from the Jets and talking a little bit about the Raiders. And we're back. It's Locked On Chiefs, and Seth Kaiser's here from Arrowhead Pride. Man, we have a ton to talk about. We already kind of started, so we're going to pick up in the middle of it. And basically, I think we all feel the same way. Twitter's not fun anymore.
Twitter is not fun. I got people that are mad at me. I got people that are mad at my football takes. I'm just tired of arguing with people about stuff. I got people telling me every week that Justin Houston's a bum. Oof. And if I dare, you know, I posted some GIFs of Tyreek Hill, right? Because I thought that's something we can all agree on. Tyreek Hill is awesome.
Yay, fast guy.
Yeah, and so I posted some All-22 GIFs showing his acceleration and how special he is with regards to his ability to get separation. I was like, hey, that's fun. Well, I mean, you don't get 2 minutes into it where someone, you know, because there was one play on a deep shot to the left side where, Alex's throw was short. And Hill had enough separation where if he hits him in stride, it's six, right? Like an 80-yard touchdown. And I'm sure you know what play I'm talking about. It was when they were going, right to left on the screen. I think it was in the second quarter. Maybe third. I don't remember. Anyway, and so he tried to come back for it. He actually made a nice play on the ball. It just wasn't possible. And the first thing is, you know, Mahomes hits that throw. And it's like, look, I can make GIFs of Patrick Mahomes missing deep throws in college. I can. Because it's just happens. The law of averages. Yeah. The farther you throw, the more often you're going to have an inaccurate throw.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about Mahomes today. That's ridiculous. You're not playing, folks. Get over it. If Alex goes back to the old Alex, then we'll talk
this week.
About it again. Exactly.
Well, right. And, that's good on Alex. He came out and he played a good game. You know, Nagy, he definitely, you could see a different emphasis in the offense. And that was cool to see. Although, I'm going to take an unpopular opinion. I think people are kind of taking the stuff that we're hearing about Andy Reid, you know, handing over play calling duties. That's not really what the original story said. Right? I mean, it said that it was still going to be a shared process.
Right.
And so I don't know. I think people might be overselling a bit just how much control Andy Reid gave over. But it definitely looked different.
It definitely did. And when I if you listen to what Dave Hewlett had to say, standing on the sidelines all day, and when, every time I saw it on both broadcasts and any other view that I could find, I didn't see Reid in the play sheet. I saw Nagy in the play sheet. And so listening to what Therese had to say and what Matt Derrick had to say about their takes on it, it ended up feeling to me like it was more – of a handoff, but with supervision. I don't think it's a 50-50 split. I think Matt Nagy is
that's fair. That's fair. And, you know, it's interesting. I kind of wish it hadn't taken this long because, man, the offense looked great. Although there was still definite leaning away from the run game.
Oh, yeah. Worst one of the season. Lowest run call percentage of the year.
Yep. But when your quarterback's running for 70 yards, I mean, what's what do you need? Man, I got to tell you, my fantasy team was like, yeah, I'll take all seven of those points. Thank you very much.
After playing Alex Smith two of the last 3 weeks, I benched him this week.
I had a feeling I actually kept him in there and he gave me like 37 points. It was insane. Of course, my opponent started Tyreek Hill. Yep. I got to tell you though, it was interesting. I mean, all you got to do is look at I know you guys know these because I've seen you tweet them out. The next gen stats that NFL.com has. Mm-hmm. You know, we make fun of the NFL for doing a lot of things stupidly, and you know they're able to get away with it because they've got a great product, right? Football is an incredible product. This next gen stats thing they've got, that's awesome.
It's incredible.
Yep.
And
that's. Yeah.
And you're right. I do tweet them out, and I think Chris does too. The thing that struck me, and not only is it incredible, but it's real-time data. It doesn't take forever. You don't have to wait 3 days to go watch the film either. And
yeah, what stands and it's out good to, stuff.
It is. It's great. What stands out to me is it tells you instantly, two or three games ago, I want to say it was the Giants, Tyreek Hill didn't run a route past 18 yards. And then this week, five of them. No, I lied. Six.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, he was targeted, and that's the one thing with the next-gen sets. They show targets, right? Mm-hmm. It's not – I don't believe it's literally every route. It's routes that they were targeted on. But that – I mean, you know, if you're not targeting the guy, what does it matter where he's running? You know, who cares?
Right.
He could be 100 yards down the field, but, well, 100 yards down the field, you probably shouldn't throw to him. Yeah. But I hopefully you understand my point that I buried underneath a mountain of hyperbole there.
But you don't know how to do that, do you?
Yeah, no. But no, if you look at Hill's route tree, even on ones he was targeting, it's incredible how different it was. They treated him like T.Y. Hilton instead of Dexter McCluster.
Mm-hmm.
I just patented that saying, by the way.
You can.
Because I like that. I'm going to use that one. because Hill, other than T.Y. Hilton, is the best deep threat in the game. And I think he might be a better deep threat than Hilton.
He's
unbelievable. But they're throwing him these. And now, look, he's great at those little short routes. And I think the wise thing to do is to do both, right? Use him for all. Target him 15 times a game.
Exactly.
Do all kinds of stuff with him because he can do it all. But this whole, I mean, this short stuff exclusively, it's like you've got a Ferrari and you refuse to drive over 55. Like, what's the point? Right.
Well, and so it was cool. Day, to your targets question or point, Chris said it, I think last week, he's a number one receiver now. Feed him like one.
Yes. And that's the frustrating thing about this whole equal opportunity offense. And we talked about this just a few weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, look, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce – are unique players. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the NFL. I don't care what anyone else says. He is the best tight end in the NFL. And not only that, but he's unique. He's uniquely difficult to cover. Tyreek Hill, he is not the best wide receiver in the NFL. I would argue that he is at least a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
But he's not being used like one because his route running still needs some work for sure. But it's gotten better every year. And he is also unique in that you cannot, and I think was it PFF Mike? I get them all confused now. He was watching the game and he said, you cannot use quarters coverage against Tyreek Hill.
It was Mike.
You can't do it because he just runs away from your corner. And they had a couple of beautiful route combinations with him. You notice a couple of those deep shots, they had him running almost an out and up kind of thing, mm-hmm. kind of similar to the route that Kelce runs, that brought him outside the purview of the safety, but from the slot. It was an interesting thing. Like they used him in a little bit differently than I think they have in the past. And with the results they got, you got to imagine Andy Reid and the brain trust are meeting this week and like, okay, guys, what we did last week, let's keep doing that. That worked against a decent defense.
Yeah. I mean, by my count, 5 of those 9 targets against the Jets were out of the slot.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're talking about Tyreek Hill, and I don't want to get away from that subject. I do like the fact that they're using him more and they're targeting him like they should, but there were still problems on offense. You can't get Travis Kelce going the way you do the first quarter and then not use him again until the fourth.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just, I tend to be more, the offense could have done things better, but the fact is they hung 31 on him. And so, you obviously keep doing what you're doing and you start refining the process. But the Chiefs really, with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and now even more so with DeMarcus Robinson, they really should be a vertical offense.
Yeah.
That's where their strength is. And it was good to see them going for that. They have guys that can win down the field.
Do you think that translates to this upcoming game against the Raiders, though? Because with the injury to Morse, I'm not sure that Alex has the time.
I don't know. Fulton sliding over to center. He was not playing well at guard anyway. So I don't really know, if the guard is really a downgrade. I know center is. But, I will say I'm not sure Morse has been playing that well.
Right. I don't think it's 100% by a long shot.
And that is painful for me to say. You guys know how much I love Mitch Morse.
So does his fiance, but yes.
Yeah, that was – yeah, I forgot that came to her attention. That was hilarious. Well, of course, she seemed to have a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I think she did.
She seems to get the bit there. I don't really love Mitch Morse with the passion that burns like a thousand suns, or do I?
You're making people nervous from a couple states away.
And that's what they'll put on my tombstone. He made people nervous from states away. So I don't know, but here's what I liked about the deep shots they took. If you really watch, it doesn't take that long for Hill or Kelce to get down the field. And I do think one common myth among Chiefs fans is that you need 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket to take a deep shot. You don't if that's the first place you're looking.
Right. Yep. If that's your intent the whole time.
Not with those guys.
Exactly.
Yep. And so even now, because some of Kelce's, interestingly enough, because they asked Kelce to run such a unique route tree for a tight end, which is one of the reasons I think he's the best in the league. He's a big wide receiver. They take a little bit longer. And you saw that in some previous games where it just took a little too long. Some of those like Y cross routes and stuff where you're just asking him to travel too far. But a lot of his routes, Kelce can get upfield in under 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That out and up, oh my goodness. He had that a couple times where he just shook. I mean, it's ugly. It's so much fun to watch. But I mean, those out and ups, he can be open if he's your first read and you're throwing with anticipation rather than waiting for him to have a 5-yard cushion, you can throw down the field to him. One of the plays where Alex got hit in the arm, And now that was partly on the line, right? Mm-hmm. And that was when Kelce ran another out and up, and it was a great play, and he was wide open. Alex, in my opinion, and this isn't to get into a big Alex thing, because the O-line was at fault too, for sure. They should be able to protect him for 3 seconds. That's not unreasonable. But he could have gotten that ball out in 2.5. He hesitated a tick, which is interesting because the rest of the game, he made a lot of throws where he wasn't hesitating.
Well, and that's what comes down to me is the aggression part of it that he showed against the Jets, again, with a little fire underneath him, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key because when you look at, and I love this one in particular, back to the next gen stuff. When you look at the Jets game in particular, the guy who had the least amount of separation on his routes, all the routes that he was targeted, was Ty Hill.
Really?
Kelce had more, Wilson had more, and Robinson all had more separation on the routes they were targeted on than Ty Hill did.
I didn't even know that separation on routes was a thing.
Yes, because basically what they use is those trackers so they can get acceleration and they can track it on the field.
That is such a cool thing to track. I wish, man, I think they really ought to expand that to like include all routes. And then you could separate targeted routes from all routes. You know what I mean? Because then you could see, like, when people are like, oh, this guy's all wide open constantly. Mm-hmm. You could look and be like, his average separation is only, you know, a yard. Right. So, you know, that would be cool. And you're right, though, because some of the throws he made to Hill were go-up-and-get-it throws. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Hill, because he's got exceptional ball skills, will go up and get it. He is a highly underrated receiver when it comes to tracking, adjusting to, and catching the ball. That sideline catch that he almost made.
Yep.
That was an incredible catch. And, you know, maybe Antonio Brown gets his foot down there, the second foot. Maybe. But that was, I mean, it just demonstrated he's got incredible body control, great concentration. I mean, he can just get it done.
Isn't it funny, though, that Alex is using him as your go up and get it type wide receiver when that's not what his strength looks like to be. I mean, just looking at him physically, you know, you wouldn't think that would be the strength of his.
Absolutely.
If you want to go look at somebody like Chris Conley, okay. You know, DeMarcus Robinson, even I would think those would be those guys that you would want to go throw the ball up to. But yeah, you're right. He is giving Hill a chance to do that. And Hill is making plays more often than not.
He is. And I do think, you know, down the field, if you just lay the ball up there, it is really hard if you lay it out in front. You don't want to sit it in a situation where it's a legitimate jump ball, right? You got to have it be a situation where they've got to run underneath it somewhere.
And like but even sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the one that he had to come back for, you know, he's much better at adjusting to the ball at full speed than defensive backs are. And I think part of that is defensive backs are, they got to run so hard to not get dusted.
Right.
That
they're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And actually he was underthrown on one of the deep balls that he actually caught for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That ball could have been thrown, I think, 5 yards further and Hill still runs under it.
I remember, yeah, you replied. I did that gif, and, I mean, you see him. Because, I mean, he just, man, did he run away from, I think it was Robinson was the corner. He just ran away from him in a way that you don't see in the pros. Like, you see that in college. That was like, you know, the big joke is the Tavon Austin thing, you know, because some people were comparing him to Tavon Austin or whatever.
Right.
And, like, Tavon Austin in college is, like, the comparison for Hill. He had to slow down, but he did it so well. He adjusted his speed, caught it perfectly, and you saw what happened to the corner when the corner tried to turn and look for the ball. He stumbled and fell.
Yep.
People think it is not easy to turn and look for a ball while sprinting. That's incredibly hard to do, and anyone who thinks they can do it really should try it in a field sometime.
They should just try running. Secondary is what they should do because we need to talk about defense too.
Well, hold on. You could say they want to do it in the field. I want to see video of it if you want to go try it. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Ryan's going to make us talk about the defense.
We have to talk about the defense a little bit because
we don't.
Rays of light. Hey, okay. Let's talk about the Raiders then. We won't even talk about the Jets.
No, I want to talk about the defense. I was kidding. I'm sorry.
You're killing me, Smalls. Okay. So, I didn't think I would have to say this, but I don't think the linebackers are the concern at the second level. I think it's all the front guys in the secondary. Am I wrong?
I could see that. Sorry.
Okay, that was scintillating.
You know, I wrote about the Chiefs defense. I just wrote, I think there's just, the defensive line is having problems getting off their blocks. And it's bizarre.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
I think it's effort.
It could be. I mean,
I think they look slow. I think they look unaggressive with their hands. I don't know who these guys are compared to the guys that played the first four games.
Yeah.
Is that coaching? Or is it just effort on the players?
I think if you've got a severe lack of effort, I do think that we're seeing a bit of a lack of accountability on the Chiefs defense.
Which makes no sense to me, because I would think that Justin Houston would be all over that.
And we've seen Houston be a vocal leader in the past. We've seen him do it.
Yep.
But, you know, when you're out of your position group, you know, I mean, football's a weird sport. You know, generally speaking, guys, they kind of run with their position groups. And now we've seen Houston grab Peters before, right? And we've seen him get in guys' face before. But, I mean, I haven't seen as much of that from him. I haven't seen fire from him either.
I haven't seen fire from anybody.
And that's, yeah, I mean, on defense, honestly, Raglan's the only guy that feels like he's bringing it right now.
Right.
And I'm sure that the rest of them are having their moments. But, I mean, they really – it was interesting because the defense, like you said, they had a couple strong games in a row. Now, part of that was just bad opponents. But, I mean, against the Bills, they played pretty well overall. But they were so quick to start hanging their heads against the Jets.
Yeah.
And they were so quick to just almost kind of like, you could just see them just kind of like, oh, well, this again, I guess. And it was just, they just gave up.
Well, and I'm frustrated with Bob, as we've talked ad nauseum about things that Bob does. Except for the fact that I enjoyed what he did moving some of the guys around, putting the NASCAR in a couple of times, having Chris Jones rush from an end spot in the four-man front. He's trying to mix it up. He's blitzing safeties. I feel like for the first time in 6 or 8 weeks, Bob Sutton actually made adjustments that should have helped, and it didn't, and I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I really couldn't tell you either. And I've gone back and I've watched some of the plays. Because while Sutton made some adjustments, you still see these mystifying things. One thing I do want to go over is and this is, I've got to look at the film, what was happening on third down? Because, I mean, there were some plays where it was so clearly execution, right? Mm-hmm. But there were other plays where it's like, you know, it's third and seven and you got guys playing 15 yards off the line. It's like, gee, I wonder if they're going to run a slant and get the first down. Oh, yep, there it is. And so I just can't quite figure it out. Here's the one thing, though, I will say, you know, I got a lot of people, I mean, because look, the Chiefs lost again and everyone's freaking out. For whatever reason, I'm more hopeful, and this sounds bizarre, I know. I'm more hopeful after the Jets game for the rest of the season than I am after the Giants game or the Bills game.
It doesn't sound too obscene for me, because if you look at the offense, you at least think you have something there. Against the Bills and the Giants, you really didn't think you had anything there.
Right. And that's, you know, I wonder if it's because the defense was so good for so long that I keep believing it'll bounce back.
That's how I take it. Like, they were much better for much longer. And, yeah, they played a bad game, but you got to think that they're more apt to bounce back than the offense was after that slide.
Right. Now, on the flip side, one thing that I've been thinking about writing about is, you know, the leaders on defense, because Houston is a leader. We've seen it. However, what – I mean, don't they look like a group of guys without a leader?
Yep.
A lot of the time? They're snapping at one another. You see a lot of looks and gestures and that kind of thing. And here's one thing I'm curious about, and this is – you know, we don't have to talk about Marcus Peters at length. I don't know if Marcus Peters can be one of your leaders on defense. In fact, I don't think he can.
Well, and we talked about that earlier in the week.
But yeah, not with his effort, he can't.
My contention is he has to be. He's one of your elite players. He has to get ground up right now and beat up by the guys that are above him in the hierarchy so that he can be that leader. Otherwise, this franchise is in real trouble in 3 years.
Right.
Well, and I'm not going to argue that, but Travis Kelce has been a guy that should have been a leader for several years, and he's never been that guy. So what's the difference on offense compared to defense?
Well, on offense, Andy – the difference on offense is that Andy Reid is the leader for the offense. Andy Reid is primarily an offensive coach, and everyone knows it.
You have to have a player leader, and when you have a quarterback that isn't – you have to have right, one. This is my problem with Reed overall, is we're talking about two players, fiery, elite at their position, who should be leaders, who are falling down on that job. And what does that come down to? On both sides of the ball, Andy Reed is not getting his young guys to take over the reins.
Right. I guess I would say with regards to on offense, I would disagree with you on that. While you do need a player, what you need, and this is just my opinion, right? If you've got a fiery coach or a fiery defensive coordinator, what you need is a guy, you need a number one, right? You need a Commander Riker. You need a Spock. You need whatever. If you've got the right coach, if you've got a player who's willing to, guys, okay, let's do this, you know that kind of helps the rest of the guys fall in line with the coach, I think you can get away with that. And that's why I think you can get away with what the Chiefs have on offense with Alex. The problem with Alex is some games when he doesn't play well, and that's why I think DJ can't be the leader anymore because he's not playing well enough. You can't be the leader taking half the snaps and at times being a liability. You just can't. That's why Tomba can't be the leader. You can't be the leader when you're out there, when you're not out there, right?
All right.
So I would say if you have a fiery coach to do part of the work, you can get away with a guy like an Alex Smith. Now, it's still not ideal, but you can get away with it.
But are you calling Andy Reid a fiery leader?
I think that how about this? A strong enough personality. And I guess we've heard enough about Reed that the idea that he's not a strong personality doesn't add up to me. Now, at the same time, some of the stuff that we saw on offense, you know, the weeks prior, it makes you wonder, for sure. But I would say specifically on defense, it's an even bigger problem because at least Andy Reid's personality is imprinted on the offense, at least a little. Whereas Bob Sutton is even farther away from that spectrum, right?
Yep.
And so you can't necessarily get away. And again, with Justin Houston, I don't know what Houston's deal is. I don't know if he's a little hurt. I don't know if he's just tired. I don't know if he's discouraged. But he hasn't seemed as fiery to me on the field.
Well, and I want to talk about his position in particular because I noticed for the first time they gave him a lot of reps off against the Jets, and maybe that's part of that process. Maybe he is a little banged up. And the guy that got those snaps put out some GIFs on Tuesday night of Tano Pasanio, and I think he's made a lot of progress. Did you guys happen to see those, or have you looked at the film on Tano?
I haven't. He's a guy that I keep promising people I'll look at, and I've just been failing miserably. And so my
to be fair, there's not been enough to really look at. I mean,
and I want to take a look at that though.
You need plenty of plays, and you really don't have it with him yet. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're going to get there, but
I agree with you. But I think they need to see more of him immediately because what I saw against the Jets setting the edge, he held up better than Frank Zombo did. I think he's got those pass moves, and at this point, in this kind of desperation. And if Justin Houston maybe isn't 100%, they have to have pass rush. That's the thing about this secondary is they cannot be good until you can get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think Tano's got to play a lot more. I hope that they can reactivate Daddy Nicklaus and he can bring a spark. But they got to get to the QB.
Mm-hmm. That's been a big issue. The pass rush. Although, you know, one thing I've noticed, and it was the same against the Jets, there are a lot of quick throws against the Chiefs.
That sounds familiar too, Ryan. We talked about that on Tuesday. That's one thing that really frustrates me is when people say that they need to get rid of Houston because he's not producing. How are you supposed to produce when the quarterback's getting the ball out in 2.5 seconds and you have no help on the other side?
And that's just so accurate. And then plus, I mean, there were plays where the guard was cheating to him. I mean, it was, and again, I'm not saying Justin Houston is what he was pre-injury because he does look a little tired. He looks a little bit slower, but I think he's being asked to pass rush one play and then run 30 yards with the guy in coverage the next play. And I mean, and then some plays it's like, wow, we need you to, I swear there are some plays where it looks like he was QB spying. where he was just, you know, holding up rather than rushing. And I just, for him, it seems like he's conserving energy on some plays, like where he can, you know, he is an incredibly disciplined player. You can tell he knows what's going on, right? And so you can see on some plays, it's like you see him realize at the play, as the play begins, they're going to throw it immediately here. And then he holds off. I swear I saw that. And now I don't like the idea of anyone taking plays off.
Well, I saw it twice against the Jets. And the one thing that he did do that I wish the D lineman would do, and again, it comes back to hand fighting, is he got his hands up.
Yeah.
If you can't get there, try to get in the way of the pass.
And he seems to be focused on that. I think he's an astute guy and he's recognizing what teams are doing. So he's trying to get his hands in the air to at least be in a throwing lane because he knows that ball's coming out 1-2-3 throw or 1-2-3-4-5 throw.
Yep.
And so he knows he's not going to get there. So what do? And so then I have people tell me, oh, that right tackle was stonewalling him. It's like, it doesn't even look like he's trying. Oh, well, he's a sandbagger. It's like, we know enough about him to know that he's not. So what's really happening there? But no, the tide is really, it's interesting. The average Chiefs fan has really turned on Houston quite a bit this year.
Well, at this point, I think the average Chiefs fan is turning on any player that they think is not performing up to what they should be, and
that's true. It's a frustrating year,
right?
Well, let's talk about what's coming then.
Yes,
half of the passing game is maybe a little beat up for the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch is getting better. We're going to talk about our predictions tomorrow. How do you see this game going down?
I have no idea.
No. Matt Derrick did that to me last week. You got to have an idea.
I just nothing would surprise me at this point. It just, I mean, because the Raiders are a worse defense than the Jets. And the last time Alex Smith played the Raiders, he tore them up. Mm-hmm. And so I would assume they're going to keep going with this vertical offense. But one thing they need to do, and there was a great tweet from Gary McKenzie. He's another Arrowhead Pride contributor. Real sharp guy. He's into numbers and stuff. Ryan, you'd like him. Actually, both of you would like him. You're both numbers guys. But anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So he tweeted out, and this I think this is a great point. If you're going to have a vertical, quick attack passing game, you cannot have a bend but don't break defense. Because you're going to end up leaving your defense out there for 20 minutes and a half. Mm-hmm. And I do think some of the stuff we saw against the Jets at the end was a defense that was legitimately shot. They had a 10-minute drive.
Yeah, and I won't argue that they were shot, but at the same time, part of that's on the defense for not getting off the field the first drive in the third quarter.
For sure, and I absolutely do agree with that. But I think this bend but don't break stuff, you know what? It's not working. So it's time to start being more aggressive. And Ryan, you accurately pointed out that Sutton was starting to try new things and nothing was working. And so
it's funny because I sit there and I've watched the past couple of weeks, and usually teams will start hot against the Chiefs defense and then they'll cool off. The Chiefs will make adjustments and they'll be okay. That didn't happen this week. And I'm not sure if it's going to continue to not happen or not, but that goes back to the bend but not break scenario where they would break the first couple of drives, but then they would figure out how to stop the team and they'd adjust. This defense, I don't know that they can adjust and do that against the Raiders.
Well, mm-hmm. And here's what it comes down to me, is that all feeds into Bob's passivity against the pass. In the way he lines guys up, the fact that he doesn't press receivers anymore. And you can get as aggressive as you want on the front end, but if it's not going to pay off, you have to be aggressive on the back end as well. Defense has to work as a whole. And I think they need to be more aggressive across the board. Like you said, this bend don't break will not work. It has to be attack, attack, attack at every position, every man. And that's the only way this team's going to actually get on the side of the ball where both sides of their team can actually play well and they can start wins.
I think
that's
that
a
makes
novel
a lot
concept,
of sense.
Ryan.
I like that.
Both sides of the ball playing well.
I know. What an idea. Coach, I'm available. Call me.
Yeah, just give me a ring.
All right, so long and short, Seth, you think the Chiefs pull it out or no?
I have a weird feeling. about what's going to happen with the rest of this season. You know what would be the most Chiefs thing ever?
4-0.
When they've brought their fans to the brink, going on a 4-0 run and winning a playoff game or two.
They're handing out Xanax in the parking lot.
Yeah. That sounds just stressful enough to happen.
I don't know if I say that's the Chiefs' thing to happen or if it would be to win this next game, lose against the Chargers, but still be in the playoff hunt, so you can't really consider changing your quarterback and going younger over the last 2 weeks, winning the next to last game and then losing the last one to be out of the playoffs. Sounds a little bit more Chiefs-ish to me at this point.
Dude, the scenario's in your head. Good Lord.
Yeah. Hey.
You are the darkest timeline.
Oh, thank you for being with us.
And I hate being that guy.
I was going to try to cut him off there. It just didn't work. any closing thoughts? What in particular you think is going to happen here? I think Tariq Hill gets on a run. They go to him a lot.
I think that I could see the Chiefs having a game. I mean, this is now they're finally at that moment, right? They still control their destiny. All they got to do is win out, and they are in the playoffs.
Yep.
That is not true if they lose on Sunday. So for the very first time this season, their backs are actually against the wall. Now, I understand that, you know, it's been a put up or shut up time for weeks. But this is the first week where the coach can look at them and say, we can still control this. We can still do this. This is it, though. This is Custer's last stand. And so I've seen them bounce back too many times to not think they'll do it. And so I guess I'm going to go with the Chiefs winning one that gives us all heart attacks.
Well, thank you for that. Some optimism. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with our predictions. Seth, thanks for being with us again, as usual.
Mm-hmm. I like talking to you guys. You know what? It's always a blast.
You had me worried with that mm-hmm thing. Okay. And, folks, that's it for us today. We'll be back with you for Red Friday tomorrow with the preview show and instant reaction after the game on Sunday. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.